بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu sends us reminders on a daily basis. This morning I got a message from one of my very dear friends from this community itself, who's traveling outside the state, and he sent me photographs, and he said, this morning I woke up and I found in the parking lot of my hotel, just outside my room, there is a dead body on the ground. And I saw the police and the coroner and so on and so forth investigating that, whoever it was who died. And he said, I'm sending you this photograph as a reminder to you and myself. I came here on the 23rd of September. Today is the 24th of January, 4 months. In 4 months of my being here, I got news of 7 of my close friends who passed away. 1 in New York, 6 in India. We get reminders every single day that one day the bell will toll for us. And one day we will stand before the doors of Jannah and find a combination lock on it. Imagine that you are standing before a safe with $1 billion tax-free in it. And as you know, safes have combination locks. And as you also know, that a combination lock, if you want it to open, there are 2 conditions. You must dial the combination and you must dial it in that particular sequence. Even if you dial all the correct numbers, but if you change one number, one digit from before to after, the lock won't open. Or if you miss even a single digit, the lock won't open. The lock won't open partially. Please, you know this. I mean, I don't have to tell you that. You've been dealing with safes and combination locks, and those who don't have safes and combination locks, may Allah bless you. That is less stuff to give hisab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. But look at your telephone and the screensaver. Try and play around with that. Which number will you dial? Whatever the combination is, we need the exact number, and we need to dial that in that sequence for the safe to open. Now let's come back to Islam. The reason I mentioned this, which is, what do we do with the combination lock to the door of Jannah? What are the numbers of that lock? What is the sequence? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what to do. In the ayat which I recited before you as part of the Masnun Khutbah of Zuma, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always speak the truth. And if you do that, He will direct you, Allah will guide you to do righteous deeds. And He will forgive your sins. He will guide you to do righteous deeds and He will make islah of your deeds. يُسْلِحَ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ And He will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only that person indeed has achieved final and permanent success. There are two words in the Quran used for success, falah and fawz. Falah is also success, but falah refers to success in a particular test. It does not refer to final success. So you might have falah in one test, and then there is another test, and you might pass or fail that, and there is another one, and so on and so forth. But fawz and fawz al-azima refers to the final test, which is Jannatul Firdaus. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this for all of us, insha'Allah. After which there is no test. Final test. The greatest ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is freedom from tests. This life is a series of tests from the minute we open our eyes till the moment we die. It's a series of tests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with difficulty as well as with plenty. And sometimes and most of the times the tests with plenty are much more complex and much more difficult than the tests with difficulty. Because when a person is in pain, almost automatically he will say, Allah. But when a person is reveling in success, reveling in plenty, then to remember Allah is not that common. So how must we get this success? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that also. The beauty of Islam is there is no mystery. Everything is clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَطَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ Allah said, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely and totally. Dial all the numbers in the right sequence. Don't dial half the numbers. Don't change the sequence. If you do that, the door won't open. You don't get a partially open lock. Dial all the numbers. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan. Enter into Islam. And remember, this ayat is addressed to whom? Allah is not saying, Ya ayyuhan nas. Allah is not saying, Ya ayyuhal kafirun, Ya ayyuhal mushrikun. Allah is saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who believe, meaning you have already believed. But don't believe that just by saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, that Jannah is wajib on me. We have to do more. And that more is to apply Islam to every aspect of our lives. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that the beauty of this is that this is also the logical thing to do if you are a thinking, rational, responsible, ethical, moral human being. The way of Islam is the most beautiful way to live in this world, to become highly successful, influential, beloved in this world itself. Even if you have no iman, if you just follow the rules of Islam, it will make you and you will become the most influential, the most beloved person in your society. And of course, when we do that as Muslims with Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives us Jannah. This is the beauty of Islam. Islam does not say suffer, starve yourself, deprive yourself, suffer pain, inflict pain on yourself, deny yourself if you want Jannah. No. You don't have to suffer. Enjoy life. Have fun. Have great jobs, great businesses, become billionaires, trillionaires, become powerful, get political power, authority, whatever you like, but do it in a way which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning a way which is ethical, which is moral, a way which spreads goodness around you, not through oppression, not through depriving people of their rights, not through discrimination. Do it that way, And you will have your billions and trillions in this world and you will get Jannah as well. Now, what's wrong with that? But combination lock won't happen unless you dial all the numbers. My brothers and sisters, see, I give you a couple of examples. See what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for example, about people who pray but delay the salah. فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Allah is saying, woe to those who pray. Allah is not saying woe to those who don't pray. Allah is saying woe to those who pray, but they delay their salah. Why do we delay salah? I'm not talking about people who are, you know, you're delaying it because of circumstances beyond your control. I'm just saying that I'm sitting and watching this football match, and this is absolutely critical moment. Not between Jannah and Jahannam, critical moment as far as the match is concerned. And this salah time comes on. What do I do? I'm talking to somebody, I'm doing something of this dunya, of this world. Salah time comes. What do I do? Because selective obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is disobedience. Because when we are selecting, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do 1, 2, 3, 4 things, and we say, you know, 1 and 3 I like, 2 and 4 I don't like, so I will do 1 and 3, and 2 and 4 I don't do, what are you doing? Selective obedience, when I am selecting what I want to obey, I am consciously and at the same time simultaneously deselecting something else which I also should obey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Allah said, then do you believe in a part of the book and you reject the rest? فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said, do you believe in part of the kitab? Do you believe in part of the book and you reject the rest? Do you select and obey? I have told you things for your own good, but you will pick out of that things which please your nafs, please your heart, please your desires, and you leave out that which does not please your desires. I told you 4 things are good for you, but you say, no, I know better, right? I know better. 2 are good for me, 2, you just want to give me trouble, so forget that. I am doing only these 2. By our actions, I'm not saying you are saying this with your words, but by our actions we are doing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made alcohol haram. Allah made fornication haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made casting arrows and fortune telling haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made MGM haram, gambling haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also made interest-based dealings haram. Allah declared war on the people who deal in interest. So fornication, okay, no problem, I won't do it. Alcohol, anyway, I don't want to drink. MGM, yeah, I have to go across the river, this side is better. But what about interest-based dealings? This is the issue of combination locks. I will dial part of the combination. My brothers and sisters, it is not a matter of who agrees with you and who doesn't agree with you. One day we stand before Allah and we stand alone. And when we stand before Allah, we stand alone. The only thing with us is the hukam and the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Our actions will not be judged based on who told me what. It will be judged based on what the kitab of Allah said. So err on the side of caution. If you know something is right, do it. If you don't know if it is right or not, find out. Until you find out, don't do it. Don't touch it. Err on the side of caution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly. And so in this ayat, Allah said, if you do this, if you do selective obedience, what is the jaza? The word is used sarcastically. What is the reward? Except
khizyun fil hayati dunya, accept difficulty in the life of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will make your life difficult right here. And then on the day of judgment, yuradduna ila ashaddil adhab, and on the day of judgment, you will be returned and turned towards the worst of punishment. And Allah said, وَمَاللَّهُ غَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, Allah is not unaware of what you do. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, He is with us wherever we are. And let us live our lives with this consciousness and awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Samiul Basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees me and looks at me and watches me real time. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فعما بعد. My brothers and sisters, this brings us now to the next question, which is what do we do when we see those we love disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One is, what must I do? The next one is, part of what I must do is, what must I do with my society? What must I do starting from my own home? What must I do when I see those I love, my family, my friends, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our socialization, especially here in the West, says do nothing. That's his problem. Do nothing. Don't interfere in people's lives. There is no need for you to live that person's life for them. They are adults. They know what they are doing. They are free to choose. I don't deny any of this. My simple question to you is this. What would your stand be if instead of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that person was doing something which was against the law of the land? What would you say if that person was falling into toxic company, leading to radicalization towards a violent way of life? What do you say if you saw that person, your son, your daughter, your friend, and so on and so forth, falling into criminal company or into with being with drug addicts, perhaps potentially leading for that person also to become a drug addict? What would you say? Would you say, that's fine, no problem, let him, that's his choice? Don't interfere, I shouldn't say anything to him? Or would you say, I can't force that person, no problem. I'm not saying force anybody, you can't force anybody. But at least talk to them, at least explain to them, show them what the consequences of the choices are. One of the biggest fallacies we live in life is that I am free to choose. We forget the rest of the sentence. I am free to choose, but every choice has a price tag. Nobody denied your freedom to choose. You are absolutely free to choose, but understand that the choice is not free. No choice is free. Every choice has a price tag. So if I am free to choose, am I willing to pay the price of that choice? Find out the price of the choice before you make the choice. Because once you come to the checkout counter, that is the time you pay. There's no turning back from there. So what would you do? Explain to them, show them. The famous hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah said, the first defect in religion which affected the Bani Israel is that they would meet a man. One of them who was a person of knowledge would meet another man, and this person would be disobeying Allah, and this person of knowledge would say, ittaqullah, fear Allah, and stop doing what you are doing because that is not lawful for you. Then he would meet him the next day and he would find that the man continued to do that. He didn't change. But this person of knowledge now would not do anything more. he would continue to meet that person, he would continue to invite that person, he would continue to accept that person's invitations and so on and so forth. Sitting and eating and drinking in their assemblies. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when it came to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed their hearts to go into evil ways on account of their association with others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to help each other in goodness. تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Allah said, help each other in birr and taqwa, in piety and in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which makes us fear to disobey Him. And do not help one another in sin. Do not help one another in rebelliousness. My brothers and sisters, we have to ask ourselves where we are. Numan bin Bashir radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the example of the person abiding by Allah's order and restrictions, and in comparison to those who violate them is like the example of those people who drew lots for their seats in a boat. Some of them got seats in the upper part and others in the lower part. When the latter, meaning the people in the lower part, needed water, they had to go up to bring water, and that troubled the upper deck passengers, so they said, let us make a hole in the side of the boat and get the water, so that we don't trouble the people on the upper deck. If people in the lower part do that, if they do what they wanted to do, and if they are allowed and permitted to do that, then all the people on the ship would be destroyed. But if they had prevented them, then both parties would be safe. I remind myself and you, as I am sitting and talking to you, the fires in Australia have killed an estimated 1 billion animals. 1,000 million animals. And that's not a headcount. That's an estimation. And nobody counted the insects. And nobody counted the little birds. This is the bodies that they estimated. 1 billion. So do you think, why do you think this is happening? Because we have forgotten that there is one ship, and that ship is called planet Earth. There is no other ship. And if that ship sinks, everybody on it sinks. One part of the ship will not sink by itself and the rest of the ship is still floating. No, the whole ship sinks. If we don't behave in responsible ways, if we contribute to global warming, leaving lights on when you don't need them is global warming. I see that happening in this masjid itself. Lights are on, people gone. And may Allah bless them, the few people who have been, within quotes, so-called designated for administration, calling each other and saying, the light is, I was going to say it in Punjabi, but that's how they say it, huh? Lights on. Why are the lights on? Each one of us has to understand this. I am a contributor to global warming. I am a contributor to pollution. I am a contributor to negativity. Or I am the opposite, which is I fight against that. Now choose. Because if we don't choose, everybody sinks, not one person. I keep saying this over and over again. There are so many homeless people sleeping on the street in this weather. Why? In the most powerful, wealthiest nation in the world. Why? Not because of lack of resources, but because of lack of compassion. It's our heart which lets us go home and sleep peacefully. And don't think you can experience that by going and taking a couple of blankets and sleeping on the street. No, no, you can't experience that. Sleeping on the street, homelessness is not about lack of possessions. Homelessness is about lack of security. It's about despair. It's about lack of hope. You will sleep on the street one night knowing that your house is waiting for you. He's got nowhere to go. Big difference, believe me. And think about that. What made them? Were they born on the street? Did they grow up on the street? Or were they one day like you? Until the qadar of Allah, one switch flipped. What tells us that the same thing won't happen to me? My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you. We get reminders every day. Let us pay heed to that. Help people because that is your insurance. Consider it your insurance premium. You take one person off the street, inshallah, Al-Mustan, my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu will decree that you and yours will never face that, inshallah. But do it. Put your hand in your pocket and give until it hurts. And remember that it hurts only because we don't understand what we are doing. If you realize that every dollar you give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said he will give you 700 and then he said bighayr hisab. If you understand that, why will it hurt? It hurts only because we don't understand this. We know the words. We know the words. We are fixated on the words. We are fixated on reciting the words. We are fixated on understanding meanings of the words. But we don't understand the meaning in the heart. I want to end with a famous hadith from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which all of us know. Where Numan bin Bashir radiallahu anhu, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that nobody, Abu Hamza, Anas bin Malik, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your iman is not complete. You will never have iman until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, to accept your coming, to accept your ibadah, to accept all your dua, to give you with khair and afiyah whatever you ask, and then to add to it from his generosity and grace. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all those who are sick. There is a brother who is undergoing surgery. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause him to be completely and totally cured and restored back to his home. There is one brother, Irfan, who is in coma. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove his difficulty and to restore his consciousness and to bring him back home safe and sound. We ask Allah to cure all those who are sick from whatever they are sick with, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the ailments and he has power and control over all the ailments. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take out from debt anyone who is in debt and to make all our rizq halalan tayyibah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us out from haram and into halal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us out from darkness into night. Min az-zulumati ila nur. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us out from his guidance into guidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make each one of you beacons of guidance for anyone who comes into contact with you. We ask Allah to spread khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you the means of khair in your communities, in your families, in your societies, in your countries. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you and forgive all those you speak to and forgive all those who look at you and forgive all those who walk on the path that you have passed by. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to keep all of you in a state of iman, to take you in a state of iman, saying la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and to resurrect you in a state of iman, saying la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the shade of his arsh on a day when there will be no shade except his shade. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the sharf of meeting Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his oath. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the blessing of receiving the water of Al-Kawthar from the blessed hand of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you in his protection and to guide you and to take you across the sirat behind Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to enter you into Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما اعطيت
وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فإنه لا يظل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك اللهم رحمتك أرجو فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين أصلح لنا شأننا كله لا إله إلا أنت ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة.